I hope that's your heart this morning, that it's your desire to honor the Lord, to glorify Him. Welcome to New Life Community Church of the Nazarene. It's a joy to have you with us this morning. As we begin this morning, I'm holding my cell phone as a reminder for you to silence yours. I know someone has rung already. You don't want to be that person later on. And I'm going to be reading a longer portion of Scripture today than usual. It's Psalm 8. It's the entire Psalm. It's short, but it's powerful. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. Oh, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's bow before our majestic God. Father, you are the creator and sustainer of all things, and you are the one who by the power of your word has created all things. We worship you today. We give honor and glory and praise to you. And we especially give you thanks for sending your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to become flesh, to dwell among us, to teach us, to lead us into truth and to reveal to us God Himself. Father God, we thank you for that. And we thank you that we're able to celebrate on this day that Jesus was welcomed triumphantly into Jerusalem as a king. Father, we know that it was temporary. We know that it preceded great tragedy. And yet, Lord, we also know that it leads into a greater triumph and the second coming when you will be crowned king over all. And we thank you for that. So, Father, inhabit our praise today as we come before you with praises and thanksgiving. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Well, as we are in Matthew chapter 21 today, we are Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. And as Art has already said, this is the beginning. You'll notice the title is Triumph and Tragedy. I could easily have gone triumph, tragedy, and triumph. Because we do know, unlike the disciples that were following Jesus at that time, unlike the crowds that had gathered around, we do know that Friday is not the end of the story. That Sunday's coming. Yeah, that's good news. And so since we're talking momentarily about Sunday, I would remind you that we have a pancake breakfast here on Sunday. 8:30. Yes. Ooh, Bob said. So we'll get people here for pancakes, if for nothing else. But we are also going to have a baptism service next Sunday, and it'll be a great day to worship the Lord, so I would invite you to come back next week. But we are now at the triumphal entry. And so let's begin in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 and following. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, like, stop, thief, you shall say, the Lord needs them. And he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet, and I'm Yeshua. I really need to get that in there. We're going to be talking about that. This is the prophet. Jesus just doesn't quite sound right. This is the prophet, Yeshua, from Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise? And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. Father, help us as we look at this passage to draw near to you and to experience your presence. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, you know, Jesus' life and ministry was extraordinary. It was a gift from beginning to end. We have celebrated the Christmas season, God who becomes flesh and dwells among us, that we might behold his glory, glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Jesus was born a humble birth. Not the birth of a king in the way that you would think of it. Not born in a castle. Not born into a wealthy family. Not born in the powerful centers of the world. He was born humbly and laid lowly in a manger. He was a man from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Was the question that people asked. He was a lowly man who served his family, his mom and his dad, and he grew up in Nazareth and in those regions, taking care of his family, I believe. And finally, the word of the Lord comes to him and instructs him, and it's time for his public ministry. So probably he's around 30 years of age. One of the things I just kind of want to draw your attention to is that God is not in a huge hurry. Have you ever noticed that about this story? I mean, think about it. We fell from relationship with God thousands of years ago. And God has been patiently working to redeem us through all of those events, patiently calling and choosing various ones to fulfill His will and to lead people towards Him again. Finally, in the fullness of time, at the right time, when time, you could almost say this word is when time was pregnant. When it was the fullness of time, then Jesus was born. He didn't break open the heavens and come riding forth on a white stallion. He was born in a humble way to a humble, poor girl. A girl who was young and I'm sure somewhat frightened, somewhat scared. A girl who I am sure had been ridiculed because it appeared as though he was born out of wedlock, that he was illegitimate. And then he had to grow up. We don't know much about that, do we? I mean, I love the fanciful tales that are told. I think they're absolutely marvelous, and I think they didn't happen. I mean, wouldn't it be great? You're playing with Jesus around the sea or a pond or a lake in the region of Galilee. You're there, and he sits down in the dust, and it's muddy. Maybe it's rained, or he's there on the shore of some water, and out of the mud he fashions some doves. And then he breathes on them, and they fly away. I mean, those are some of the stories that get read back into his life. I'm absolutely certain that did not happen. He was probably a boy who really didn't draw much attention to himself. He was quiet, and he was obedient, and he did what he was told. He served his mom and his dad and his younger brothers and sisters and did what he was supposed to do. And then the voice of God leads him to go and get baptized, and he's baptized in the Jordan, and he submits to a baptism for repentance of sin. And John, his cousin, says, "What are you doing here? Man, I need to be baptized by you. This is all backwards." And Jesus says simply, "It is to fulfill all righteousness." I need to do this, John, because it's what my Father in heaven wants. It's His will. So let's do it. And John says, "Well, okay." I'm sure he was shaking his head and saying, "Man, you sure you got this one right?" And he baptizes him, and then out of the heavens, the voice comes, the dove descends, and we get the first inkling that, wow, there's something special about this young man. And then he disappears from the scene. He goes for another 40 days. He doesn't immediately hop on his horse and ride into Jerusalem. The announcement has come. "This is my beloved son. With him I am well pleased." Okay, it's time to go storm Jerusalem. We're going to drive the Roman soldiers out. Doesn't happen that way. God says, "We're going to take a detour through the desert. We're going to go into the wilderness, and you're going to submit to 40 days of temptation." By the way, it was 40 days of temptation. It wasn't at the end of 40 days Satan showed up. And I'm going to also tell you, by the way, it wasn't 40 days of temptation. It was however long his life lived. Satan was working on him. Satan was seeking to destroy the one that God had sent to redeem the world. I think there were intense times. I think there were times that were harder. And one of those times was in the wilderness for 40 days without eating. I love the understatement of the gospel writers, "And he was hungry." Really? You think? After 40 days of not eating? And he was hungry. And then he begins this ministry, and he begins teaching, and he begins talking, and he wanders around for 3-ish years. But finally, it's time. The time has come. In Luke, I think chapter 9, it says that he sets his face like flint for Jerusalem. He knows it's time. And he knows what he's going for. He's going to die. He sets his face like flint. To go to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, the center of faith. And the people are rejoicing. They finally know who he is and they are ready to break forth in song. This was not a quiet procession, humbly done, you know. This was not a few cloaks spread along the way and a few... This was a party! This was a disturbance. This upended the normal life of all that was going on at a very busy time. I've mentioned this before. This is the Passover season. We're a week out, and all those who could were coming from all over the world in order to gather in Jerusalem so that they could celebrate the Passover at the temple. There would have been a lot of people there. It would have been chaos to begin with. And then through all of this chaos, not riding on a stallion, not making a huge to-do, but not stopping it either. He says, now is the time for me to make my entrance. He gets the donkey. He gets the colt. Now, don't get hung up on this. He was only riding one of those animals. The language as you read through it, he was riding. How is he doing that? Exactly. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks and he sat on them. He was on one of them, okay. But he goes in and everything happens as it's supposed to. It's a quotation from Zechariah 9 and we've already read that this morning. The disciples did that. Wouldn't you like that, you know? How about if I were to direct you and say, I want you to go right over here on the corner. There's Canyon Auto Sales. It's a truck dealership. I'm in need of one of those trucks. Just go over there and take that and bring it back to me. And if anyone questions you, just say, well, the Lord has need of them. I love that line. The Lord has need of them. Okay. Sure. And Matthew just completely doesn't even go there. Luke does. He says, someone says, hey, what are you doing? And they say, the Lord has need of them. They say, oh, fine. I'm not going to ask you to do that for me. And I wouldn't recommend you try it. So the disciples did as Jesus said, and they brought the donkey and the colt, and they put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. And most of the crowd, notice it's not all of them. There were those who didn't know, and there were doubters, and there were those who were confused there. Most of them spread their cloaks on the road. There's an image from 2 Kings. When I think it's Joash, but don't quote me on that. Look it up later, 2 Kings. Go looking through all the transitions of kings. And when Elisha anoints the king, he does it secretly in private. He's actually Elisha tells his servant, go and anoint this guy. I think it's Joash, but I could be wrong. Go anoint this guy. Take him into a private room. Take him aside. Put him in a private place, anoint him, tell him you're going to be king over Israel, and then run like a scared rabbit. Get out of there! Which I think is rather humorous. Doesn't explain that. It just says, these are your marching instructions, and the servant does it. And so when he comes bolting out of the house, and Joash comes back with some oil dripping off of him, they say, man, what happened? And he says, well, you know, the servant said such and such. And you know how they are. And the people are, no, we don't know how they are. What did he say? He said, well, he anointed me king over Israel. And all of the people that were gathered around took off their cloaks, laid them at the feet, and bowed down before him. This image of taking off your cloak and throwing it down is a sign and a symbol that you are recognizing that this is your king who has come. We don't do that. We maybe throw confetti and stuff like that, but they took off their cloaks and they did that, and the crowds that went before him and followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. What did I just say? I said, Hosanna to the Son of David. What does that mean?
Save now.
It's, oh, save, save us. Deliver us. Save us. But that's not all they said. They said, Hosanna. Hosanna is a save. What's that second part? To the Son of David. What's that have to do with? I mean, what on earth? Oh, come on. Someone get bold. I know you know. It's a Messiah. It's the Son of David is the Messiah, right? It's the rightful heir to the throne. It's kind of like, have any of you watched Lord of the Rings? Some of you have, but you're too embarrassed to raise your hand. I don't do that fiction fantasy stuff. The coronation of Aragorn, son of Arathorn. You know, when everyone just is, woo, this is the real dude, you know. This is the king. He's descended of the line of kings. He's the rightful ruler of Gondor. Okay. That's what they were saying. This is finally the rightful king. This is the rightful ruler of the nation of Israel. He's come to kick the Romans out. Hallelujah. Well, I mean, that's what they're singing. That's what they're saying. That's what they're expecting. The Son of David, who comes in the name of the Lord, which I don't think they were speaking Greek, and I have a hunch they were, who comes in the name of Yahweh. Who comes in the name of Yahweh. Hosanna. In the highest. So Hosanna is, oh, save, but it's also almost a, oh, praise God for salvation. It's a both and in that. Salvation has come. And the crowd said, who is this? The whole city is stirred up and, yeah, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Yeshua, from Nazareth of Galilee. And I just want you to soak in that word, Yeshua. Jesus just doesn't really do it justice. I mean, I know that's what you all grew up with. But names are powerful and they mean something. And his name is Yeshua. And Yeshua means Yahweh saved. When he comes in the name of the Lord, he literally does. He comes bearing the name of Yahweh and saying that Yahweh is the one who saves. Yahweh saves. The Almighty saves. Hallelujah, indeed. And then he goes into the temple and he sees what they have done to his dad's house. And he's not happy. And at this moment, I just want to apologize if you're here today and you've visited churches and in those churches, they haven't done things that are honoring to our Lord. It's not a new thing, but it is a tragedy. And so on behalf of the church, let me apologize for my sisters and brothers and their failure sometimes. Because sometimes we're like these temple people and we get it wrong and we're more interested, it seems, in your wallet than in you as a person, and that's wrong. And I just want you to know that. Because God's house, wherever it is God's house, is supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. And that's how the rest of that quote goes. It's a house of prayer for all nations. It's not just a house of prayer. All people should be welcome, and they should be welcome to come in and pray and praise God and serve Him. And Jesus goes in there, and it's been turned into a den of thieves, where those who are in there, the money changers, are defrauding the people and charging exorbitant prices. What, you didn't bring your pigeon from Tarsus? How dare you? We're going to charge you 50 times the price of a pigeon because you didn't bring your own. And that's what was happening. And Jesus was not happy, and He drove them out. But as He was in there, and as He was healing people, and as He was doing all this, the people are still shouting, and they're still singing, and there's still a party swirling around Him because they believe that God is about to do something amazing. And He is, but He's not going to do it the way they think He's going to do it. And the leaders are indignant. Don't you just like that? They were indignant. Have you ever been to a church where the people are just so righteous they couldn't possibly have anything to do with you? Heaven forbid that you should crack a smile. Heaven forbid that you should have any fun in the house of the Lord. Heaven forbid that you should sing praises to His name. They were indignant. Well, today, I want you to know that always and forever you have a choice of who you're going to follow. Always and forever you have a choice about who you're going to serve. Who's going to be your king? Is it going to be you? Oh, God help us. Is it going to be the political leaders of the country that we serve in, that we live in, that is our home? Or is it going to be the one true living God and His Son, Jesus Christ? Because see, what happens here at this moment is there is the beginning of a power struggle. Jesus comes in and He's no longer hiding and He's no longer saying, no, I'm not the rightful king. He's allowing them to sing His praise because He is the rightful king. But the powers that be don't like it. And they're very unhappy. And in the course of 1 week, all these people, maybe not the exact same ones, but the crowds who are gathered together singing the praises of Jesus at this point, are going to turn on Jesus. And at the end of this week, instead of saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they're going to shout, Crucify Him! Crucify Him. And the rightful king, who with one word could unspeak all of creation, is going to humble Himself and die at their hands. It's not the end of the story. But you have to come back next week to hear the rest of the story. You see, there's this great triumph, this triumphal entry. But it very rapidly descends, very rapidly turns. You get the seeds of it right here at the beginning. The leaders are indignant. And I'm going to tell you something. In truth, if you choose to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords in this world, and you do so publicly and loudly, the people around you will be indignant. And the only question I have for you is, who are you going to listen to? You going to listen to the voice of Jesus? And are you going to long to hear Him say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or are you going to listen to the crowds and end up in a place saying, crucify Him. Crucify Him. Because those are really your only two choices. You praise Him or you call for His death. That's the only options open to you. Let's bow. Father, help us on this joyous Sunday, the high point or a high point of your earthly ministry. A moment when you no longer silenced the crowds, when you allowed them to acknowledge you for who you were. Oh, Father, help us. Help us to follow you. Help us to praise you. Help us to worship you. For you are worthy. Lord, I am thankful that you humbled yourself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. I'm thankful that you took that road for us, that we might have life and have it abundantly. But Father, today, sometimes I fear that we're a part of the crowds that are ashamed and who don't stand up and proclaim you boldly. I'm afraid that we're following the leaders of this world that are indignant with you. Father, forgive us and help us to follow you. For truly you are worthy. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you just want me to pray for you, that you would have strength to walk in relationship with Jesus and to proclaim His name in spite of what everyone else is doing around you, if you're here today and you want to say, look, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I've been tempted to not sing the praises of my King, to not lift Him up. Would you raise your hand so that I could pray for you? Thank you for those hands, for that honesty and for that humility. Lord, help us all, but help especially these who want your help, who ask for your indwelling, empowering presence to enable them to proclaim the name of Jesus, Yeshua, that you and you alone are the source of salvation, that you and you alone are the place of life, full, abundant, and free. And Lord, I pray that you would help them in spite of or any conflict, in spite of any pressure that they may receive to disown you, to disavow you, to remain silent. Lord, I pray that you would enable them to praise you because you inhabit the praise of your people. So Father, help us. Help us all. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Hosanna! Hosanna.
Hosanna!
Hosanna to the Son of David!
Hosanna to the Son of David!
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!
Hosanna!
Hosanna!
Hosanna to the
Hosanna.
Son of David!
Hosanna to the Son of David!
Amen, you're dismissed.
Amen.